Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, January 20th, and it is 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Zarnicki. Basketball season is in full swing now, and the last few weekends, the Wrangell Wolves played against both Haynes and Petersburg. We have with us today Wrangell Wolves coach Cody Angerman. You can call in to ask a question or make a comment. The number to KSDK is 874-2345. Hi, Cody. How are you today?
Hi, Colette. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
Yep.
So you're four games into the season now. What are you learning about this team so far?
I think we've gotten a little bit better each game. We haven't had a whole lot of time to practice together, to be honest. I've talked about it a million times already, but like the overlap with wrestling into basketball and then kind of Christmas vacation right after that caused some hiccups as far as getting the season started. So those first like 2.5-3 weeks, we really only had 3 or 4 guys, and then the wrestlers that were playing basketball, you know, they made it to some of the practices that they could, but it really didn't get started until after Christmas vacation was over. So I think before our first games against Haynes, we had, I think, 2 practices with everybody that was available that was there. And so those were kind of the first ones. So, you know, it's kind of, obviously you don't want it to go that way, but I think there's also kind of this extra urgency, you know, and using it to tell the kids like, hey, we're pretty much 3 weeks, a month behind everybody else, and we have to play catch up really quick. So that's kind of been sort of the approach we've been taking. So we're really having to stuff in a short period of time here.
Yeah, yeah. Is this common? Does this happen every year then?
No, I mean, we've had, this seems like the overlap for wrestling is a little bit more than usual. Seems like it used to be maybe a week and a half or something that it would overlap. And so, no, it's not common at all. And then I think, you know, the fact that we have such a really good wrestling program too, it, you know, you have in such a small population in the school, you know, you have whatever it is, 60 to 70 kids in the school. So all of these kids play every sport, you know, and you kind of have to have that with all these programs. So, you know, I think all of us coaches, we kind of encourage all the kids to play all these other sports also, because we need to have strong programs, and the kids are pretty successful for having such a small school population too.
Yeah. So when did practice actually start, even with, you know, without the other players?
The official date was December 3rd. So, which I think that seems a little bit later than usual. You know, I think the third week of November or sometimes was when it started, but yeah. But so December 3rd was the official date. And then obviously with the school shutdown too, that was another part of it that kind of stalled things out, was we had about a week there where we couldn't have school and we couldn't have practice because the facilities were shut down. Community center was shut down too. So there was real no other option. I guess we could have went to the covered playground and had practice outside in the snow and the cold. But yeah, so there's been obviously a few things that have caused that. So a lot of these things are just totally out of your control and unprecedented. So yeah, not much we can really do about it.
Yeah, it slipped my mind about the school shutdown. And of course that. And then holidays too. But there was practice like right after holidays.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we still had practice pretty much, and except for, you know, maybe Christmas Eve and Christmas. You know, we... I think because of everything that's happened, it's important to kind of squeeze as much as you can in. So that's what we have been doing, and just trying to get everybody right where we're supposed to be, I think. So
yeah. And so how does your team look in the real games versus, you know, the practices? Is there much of a difference, would you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, our mantra is always, you know, practice how you're going to play. And, you know, we try to instill that on all the kids is, you know, every drill we do and every, you know, scrimmage we do, do it as if it's just like game time. You know, and you can say that all you want, but when it comes to playing a game, it's obviously a lot different. Just like the mentality, you're playing against different people. And so you want everything you're doing to translate, you know, and make it that, you know, every drill you do and every defensive thing you do is all back of the hand, you know, and people, you know, you have some kids that pick it up right away, but then you have other kids that, you know, we have to have that practice time. You have to have that floor time. And, you know, a lot of, you know, my thinking is that the more floor time you get and the more games you have, the better it is for the kids, you know. I think there's quite a few of them that just haven't had a lot of time on the floor and a lot of game time. And so, you know, kind of picking up any game we can or you know, scrimmaging a little bit more than probably normal is kind of what we're trying to do right now. So if we can pick up any extra games or any extra tournament, that's what we're going to do.
Okay, great. And any in the future that you can think of right now?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can talk about it. Nothing's kind of set in stone yet, but we're looking at possibly playing another game when we go to Craig in a couple weeks against Klawock, and then there's a possible tournament in Hoonah that we might go to in the middle of February. So
okay, so the scoreboard has not gone your way yet.
No.
What would you say those games tell you beyond the wins and losses? Obviously what you were saying, you know, there wasn't enough practice time. Anything else?
Yeah, and I mean, just to be clear, it's not necessarily an excuse. It's just the way it's gone, you know. I mean, there's plenty of things you can do to, you know, not during basketball season to make up for that also and just kind of be prepared. But yeah, I mean, I think we've been a little bit better for longer each game, so that's sort of a win. And sometimes it just takes a little bit to get to where you want to go. Mm-hmm. A few years back, and I've talked about this season already too, a few years back we think we started off 0-7, and I thought we had a pretty dang good team, and we started off like 0-7, and I think we played Met the first series, and then we played Petersburg and lost, and then we played and then we played Petersburg again or something. And either way, it doesn't really matter. We played like 7 games and we lost. And then finally we split a series with Petersburg. We won that game. And I think we rattled off like 11 wins in a row after that or something like that. So, you know, but that was a year that I can tell you, we lost those first games. Like we just kept losing. And I was thinking like, man, I thought we were going to be pretty good. And when are we going to turn this thing around? And obviously we did, and then qualified for state and had a real good season, a good showing, and it's kind of, you know, snowballed into each year. So
yeah, what was that like? What year was that, would you say?
So let's see, I think it was either 2022 or 2023. I want to say it was the 22-23 season. And you know, so I had a pretty good squad. I mean, I had Daniel Harrison and Jason Hay and Ethan Blatchley, Devlin Campbell, and you know, just had this Kyan Steed and just a good core group and a good bench, and to lose that many straight to start off, and thinking like, man, we should have been better than this coming out the gate. But it took some time, and then getting rolling there, and then to keep kind of winning games and being more competitive is what we preach each year. You know, you just want to get better as the season progresses. And I think we've always kind of found a way to do that. But it does get frustrating, obviously. Like these first 4 games it's never fun to lose, but you know, you have to kind of pick and choose the things that are bright spots also. And I think there are. And once we get a little bit more time together, I think, you know, we'll definitely see that, but we have a lot of work to do still.
Yeah, so that leads me to the next question. Where do you think the team, how do you think the team needs to grow based off of these last, you know, 4 games?
I mean, defensively is really where we've kind of defined ourselves in the last, you know, 7-8 years since I've been a part of the program. And, you know, that's who I think our identity is just kind of a defensive, scrappy team. And then, you know, if you have some good offense to go with that, so be it. You know, that's a great plus. But I think you have to kind of, you know, look in the past and say, you know, who have we been and what's caused our success? And, you know, personally, I think that it has been, you know, our defense turning into offense and really relying on that. So I think we're really trying to make a push to get a lot better defensively and be able to kind of mix some things up and go man to man and go zone and just kind of, you know, make sure that we're, you know, not letting the other team control the pace of the game. So,
yeah. How often are you guys practicing now?
5 days a week.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Monday through Friday. And obviously once kind of season's rolling, like how it is now, you usually get 3 or 4 practices a week, depending on how the weekend travel is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can fit another kind of shoot around or practice in on your trip, we try to do that also. But once it kind of gets going, it's going, and you know, practice is a little bit less. And so you feel the urgency to kind of squeeze everything in a small frame. And, you know, for us, it's like, you know, we have Met coming up this week. So what do we got to do to prepare for them? You know, you try to watch as much film as you can and just kind of, you know, figure out what is the best way to beat this team, I guess. So.
Yeah, that brings me to, like, do you watch the film of Metlakatla just to see how those players play and then how you guys can adapt?
Yeah, I mean, in this day and age, I think you'd be doing yourself a disservice by not, you
okay.
know? And so, you know, we try to watch any team we can, you know, as much as we can. So whether we're playing them, you know, coming up on the weekend, you know, we have our sights set on everybody that's in our conference for now and anybody we're about to face. And so anytime we can watch any film, it's obviously a huge plus. You know, that's not going to translate all the time into wins, but you know, you can watch set plays, you can watch the defenses they run. Are they going to press you? Are they going to pressure the ball? What are they, you know? So there's a lot of things obviously because of that you know we can do and figure out that at least in my time playing you couldn't really do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are you seeing improve with the team from game one to the last game four?
I think just like execution overall, just having that little bit more time, being able to run a little bit more offense, a little bit more efficiently. It's still not even close to where we want to be, but, you know, noticing that some of the stuff that we ran in practice, you know, was executed in the game and turned into points that's always a plus. Where I think just the first couple games was more of just kind of a run and gun style and not really as structured as we'd want it to be. But you know, that's another thing that even teams past, it kind of comes with time. And just dependent on the group of kids you have, you know, and just the truth is that sometimes you have groups that are really quick and really good at picking that up. And sometimes you have groups that it takes a little bit more time. You know, I guess we'll figure out. We haven't had a whole lot of time together, so we'll figure out if this group is a group that picks it up really quick or if they're a group that needs a little bit more time. So
yeah, and can you say who has really stepped up early, either in leadership or effort?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been – that's another thing that's been a little bit different this season too. Not necessarily different because we had this a couple years ago, but we graduated 5 seniors last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that happened a few years back also. And when that happened, I remember thinking who is going to be the people that are going to step up. You know, it was a little bit scary, but kids really did and made their mark. I know so far this year, I mean, Jackson Powers is one of those kids that, you know, he hasn't played a lot of organized basketball, and you know, he kind of came to us as a freshman and was really raw, but you could see the talent, and now here he is a senior and he's a lot more polished, you know, and so we're just trying to get as much out of him as we can, you know, and get a little bit of grittiness, and he'll probably be there. but he's a good scorer, and he has good size, and so we're really probably rely on him a little bit heavier than he's used to. I think, you know, and we have obviously Aiden Gillen is one of our players too that's back, and Aiden's a junior now. So the responsibility is just, you know, a lot more, whether these guys are going to like it or not. But, you know, with Jackson being a senior and then Ben Hauser deciding to play, that's a big one too, because, you know, I think that was a real bright spot this last weekend that I saw, was Ben's minutes on the court, and really what it comes down to with him is just the effort and the heart, you know, and seeing that is just awesome, because you're wondering where that's going to come from, you know. So if guys can do that, hopefully it just kind of, you know, the other guys kind of pick up on it, and that's who we should be, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, they serve as a role model.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What are you hoping to see improve over the next few games?
Well, I mean, I think it just goes back to defensively. Yeah. If we can improve, I think, you know, our offense is going to come. I don't have any doubts about that. So whether that is just, you know, doing cardio stuff in practice and doing defensive drills, that's what we're going to do. But it's, you know, it is important that we really advance our defense and focus on things, on all the little things like, you know, rebounding and jumping in passing lanes and getting steals and you know, really just doing all the dirty work and any loose ball that's on the ground that we're diving for it. I mean, that's really the way when people see, you know, a lot of teams that are scoring a lot, you know, they see that. But I think the one thing that's not really talked about is most of that really does come from defense and getting steals. So, you know, there might be a lot of scoring, but really what it is guys getting layups and real easy buckets. And that's what we kind of want to turn it into, is hopefully we can get some easy buckets. And then, you know, at times if we can get into our half court offense and just execute and obviously get some points that way, then I think we could definitely win some games.
Awesome. How do you keep younger or less experienced players confident after these tough losses?
You know, I think just experience for me. I mean, expressing to them just like what we talked about, the fact that, you know, we've started off worse than this in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, there's certain things that you can coach, right? And obviously I can teach skills and I can do as many drills as we need to do and run through defenses and offenses. But really, these kids have to want it and put in the effort. And if they're not doing that, then you're not going to get out of it, you know, what you think you're going to get out of it. So, you know, coming into practice and we want it to be fun too. You know, we tell the kids, like, we want this to be fun for you. Sometimes it may not be. I mean, I might not be the easiest person sometimes to the way I'm expressing things, but, you know, really what it comes down to is we want what's best for them, you know, and on top of it, if we can win some games doing that, that's fine. But, you know, I guess the one thing that we've been really lucky with and blessed with is that we've had a lot of, like, good student athletes in the program. And, you know, I'd much rather have that and lose every game than have kids that are defiant and win every game. You know, I really would, because it just makes things a heck of a lot more fun. And you know, my experience is that, you know, when you do have kids that are really good student athletes and kids that want to devote themselves to programs, those are always going to be your winning programs. You're not really ever going to have, I don't ever see it though, that you don't really ever have programs where you have kids that are really skilled and really, you know, good basketball players that aren't good students. Yeah. Like, I mean, every time I can just tell you, like, thinking about it, not naming names, but in the past, all of my best players, all of my top players have also been the best students in the school too. You know, and the best role models and the best leaders. Mm-hmm. And so I think that just speaks for itself, you know. And so that's kind of where we're at right now, is we're trying to figure out, you know, and not that there aren't kids that aren't that, but you're trying to develop, you know, a team of kids that are like that.
Right.
You know, not just one or two.
So basically just high achievers, and to inspire that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I guess that's been kind of the hardest thing about this season too, is and every season for that matter, is you have all these kids that are such good athletes and are champions in all these other sports too. I mean, we have state champion wrestlers and state champion cross country runners, and then you start off 0-4, and it's kind of a hard thing to accept because you're going like, man, these kids have all been champs in all these sports, but you know, you also have to think that, well, maybe it wasn't so smooth in their other sport either. It probably took a little bit of time to develop and get to that area. And so, you know, we're still kind of sifting through these things. And another thing that we talk about is just that we, you know, nothing's guaranteed in our program. So who starts or who comes off the bench, that's all kind of played week to week, and who our next opponent's going to be. And so matchups kind of determine that. And you know, the thing with basketball and any sport for that matter is people show up on the weekend and they see the games, but they don't see all the practice time and all the effort that's put in during the week, you know? So people might see somebody or a kid that's looks really, really good on the weekend, but you missed all the time that he might not have been in practice or didn't put in the effort in practice during the week, you know? So.
Yeah. That I have a question here that is similar to what you just said. What's something fans might not see from the stands that you really appreciate as a coach?
Would you read that one
sure,
more time?
Sure, yeah. What's something that fans or the audience might not see from the stands that you really appreciate as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, certainly that. The effort that, you know, is put in during the week. And, you know, because you also have the opposite where you have kids that are putting in the effort all week and then they have a bad weekend, you know. And that happens too, and we're trying to develop consistency. But, you know, there is a lot of work that goes into it, you know, and it's more than just basketball. And you said it right at the beginning, and I've had, you know, other coaches that, you know, preach this to me as I was kind of trying to find my footing, and you know, that you don't just measure your success off of wins and losses. You know, it's all of the other things that you put into it. And, you know, all that we ask is that if we go out every game and we put out maximum effort and we're doing everything we're told and we lose, like, you can live with that, you know. But if you don't do that and you see kids kind of, you know, jogging up and down the court and not getting back on defense and not doing the things that, you know, we're asking of them, then it's kind of feels like worse of a loss in a way. So
yeah. And let's just talk about the effort. What does effort look like on the floor regardless of the score? You know, what does that look like?
I mean, to me, I think, you know, you can talk about diving for balls and, you know, defense and rebounding, all that stuff. But, you know, really what it comes down to is being a good teammate, you know, and supporting each other, being a good listener. You know, when we call a timeout, being engaged in the huddles. The same goes for practice. Like, if you're not in a certain drill or in a certain scrimmage, that you're still on the side and you're still engaged and you're watching what's happening, and you know that when you get in there, I know exactly what I'm doing because, yeah, I was paying attention on the side or I was watching coach draw that up on the board. And sometimes I think it's just a hard thing for kids to, you know, it's hard for me sometimes to always be, you know, right on top of things and be listening. And you know, I get sidetracked sometimes too, so I understand that. But still, I mean, there's all those little things that just show, I think, respect and dedication. And so it's more than, I think, the, as far as effort anyway, it's a lot more than just getting sweaty and diving on the ground. You know, it's really comes down to those little things that we talked about lifting up your teammates and not, you know, every time something happens, accusing somebody else, you know, and accepting responsibility. To me, those are the things that really are the effort side of things, because it takes a lot, I think, for anybody really to change that and change that bad habit of, like, kind of blaming somebody else for my mistakes.
Yeah, and I would think that's just a negative reinforcement, you know, that creates negative habits or whatever.
Yeah.
On perhaps the person being blamed
100%.
Too.
Yeah, and we've had kids that, you know, when they were younger or underclassmen or freshmen, you know, were kind of hard to break of habits and maybe didn't have the best attitudes. But, you know, you can either ignore it and just kind of let kids be, and then they'll just continue to do that, or you can nip it in the bud right there and make sure that you are, you know, enforcing it properly and making sure that, you know, you missed a layup, you don't punch a wall, you know, you miss a layup, you just get back on defense, you know, those things that, you know, just show a difference. And, you know, we try to, you know, make some sort of similarity or comparison of, and use other, you know, levels of basketball for role models, for instance. And like, one of the things that I'll tell people a lot is, you know, if you watch Stephen Curry play basketball, if he misses, you don't see him punch a wall or really put his head down. I mean, what it comes down to is he expects to make every shot. And so when he misses it, it's almost as if he's shocked by it, you know, but not as if he's going to put his head down and pout and say this happened or that. He's just, you know, he's expected to make it. And that's just with coming with practice and repetition and time. And so if you know, that's what you want to be and that's what you want to do, if you want to be a really good shooter, then you need to put in the time and you need to put up, you know, your 1,000 shots a day or whatever the number is, you know. But you can't, you know, come in and just run through our practice and then, you know, not take any shots outside of that or do anything in the off season and expect to be some tremendous scorer. It just doesn't work like that. And unfortunately, basketball is kind of finesse in that way, where it's not all about the grit. There is like a certain portion of it where obviously you need to have like almost a certain level of smoothness, right? So
yeah. So what are you focusing on heading into this next stretch of games? We have Metlakatla coming up like in a few days.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Met, I don't think has had the start that they really wanted to the season either. You know, they just went and dropped two to Haynes and Haynes. I know Coach Scott wasn't able to make it, and, you know, that was probably a tough one for him. And then they lost two to Petersburg also. So they're kind of, you know, they, and then they won a couple real big games because they had a tournament in Metlakatla where I know they beat, you know, Sioux Valley, who was at the time the number two ranked 2A team in the state, and they beat Dillingham, who looked pretty good too. And so they've kind of been up and down and ebbing and flowing too. So I think it's probably going to be pretty competitive just because we're both kind of in the same boat trying to find our footing and figure out who we are. And so I think, you know, for both teams this weekend anyway, it's about like finding identity, and we want to go over there and win some games for sure, you know. And I think we just want to make sure that we can play four quarters of really good basketball, you know. And so no matter what the outcome is, that's kind of our goal at this point. And Metlakatla, you know, no matter what their record is, they're going to be really tough. So
yeah. And so I wish you all the luck, of course.
Thanks.
And so you're obviously the head coach and you have two assistant coaches.
I have Tony Harding, and then we have, you know, some guys that help out a lot. So
okay.
Mikey Hoyt, he likes to help out quite a bit. And then, you know, we have some of our alumni that come in and scrimmage quite a bit. And, you know, Lucas Schneider, who played for me last year, he's been coming in and helping out a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great because, you know, the truth is that, you know, being the head coach, it sounds like maybe you have a certain amount of authority, but I think there's also things where kids, it just relates better coming from somebody else. Now, whether that's somebody older or somebody like Lucas that's younger and more around their age, sometimes it just comes off better that way. And so, you know, there's things that I've talked about in the past with kids that, you know, I might have said a million times, and for some reason it just does not encode in their brain. And then I kind of tell somebody, hey, can you talk to so-and-so and see what's going on? I'm trying to figure this out. And then all of a sudden it just clicks. And so there is a huge benefit to having these people, you know, kind of come around, because we all kind of have different approaches too. You know, whether that's bad cop, good cop, or anything like that. I mean, I try not to be, you know, total enforcer all the time, because another thing that I've kind of figured out over the years is that not all of the kids are the same, right? And kids learn in different ways. And, you know, you can't just be, you know, this hard-nosed coach all the time to each kid, because it just might not translate. And even if that's who you want to be, then you're just being stubborn yourself, and it's probably not going to work. And so you got to make sure that you're really kind of adapting to each kid and how they learn and how they figure it out. And also, really, it's not always just about basketball, you know. I mean, I we really want what's best for these guys. And, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, they're keeping up with their school and they're good community members. And, you know, most of them do a pretty dang good job. So I haven't had too much concern with any of it. But you know, I just need to emphasize that it is more than just basketball, and it is more than like X's and O's. And you can't make somebody something they're not, you know. So.
Yeah, yeah. So we're wrapping up. Is there anything else you would like to say?
No, I don't think so. Just that, you know, as I think as the season progresses, we're just going to keep getting better and keep working hard, and hopefully we can come out with some wins.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, and again, KSTK broadcasts the game, so I think we'll be broadcasting Metlakatla. So that was Cody Angerman, head coach of Wrangell Wolves basketball team,